Good morning. Welcome to worship today. It's first Sunday in Lent, and it's a very special day as today we celebrate the baptism of Lily J. Hawkins, and the family's gathered together with us for this sacrament of holy baptism, and we rejoice with her, and so please keep her in your prayers as she's gathered into the church as Christ blesses her. Several other announcements. Please keep Jeannie Graff in your prayers. Friday night, she broke her hip, and yesterday she had hip surgery, and she is doing well. She's in Wichita, and she's doing well. Also, Agnes Miller, she had broken her hip, also her femur, and she had that repaired in surgery on Wednesday, and she's also doing well. So please keep all the ill in your prayers. We also rejoice in recent births. Charlie and Jeanette had a great granddaughter, and her name is Charlie Jeanette. And we rejoice with them. And also, Ray and Melissa were blessed with a granddaughter, as Megan and Cody had their daughter. And so we give thanks to God for all these many blessings, as today we rejoice in God's gift. And so let us now stand and sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that all of us are conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And how is your child named? Lily J. Hawkins, receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we pray that you would behold Lily according to your boundless mercy and bless her with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in her which has been inherited from Adam and which she herself has committed since would be drowned and die. Grant that she be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, she would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From ancient times, the Church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens in the Evangelical Lutheran Church. We are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. Sponsors are, whenever possible, to witness the baptism of those they sponsor. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for our neighbor. Is it your intention to serve Lily as sponsors in the Christian faith? If so, answer, yes, with the help of God. God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us now, together with all the family, pray with Lily the prayer our Lord Jesus has given to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord preserve your coming in and going out from this time forth and forevermore. Lily, do you renounce the devil? We all answer together, yes, I renounce him. Do you renounce all his works? So answer, yes, I renounce them. Yes, I renounce them. Do you renounce all his ways? So answer, yes, I renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? If so, answer, yes, I believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. So answer, yes, I believe. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? If so, yes, I believe. And who brings this child to be baptized? Lily J. Hawkins, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven all of your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. This time we pass Lily a burning candle, for Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and that light he has passed to Lily, that she may bear the light of Jesus all the days of her life. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which shall have no end. In holy baptism, God the Father has made you a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of all the treasures of heaven in the one Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our sister in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. So let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Lily the new birth and holy baptism and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as she has become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lily and all the family, peace be with you. Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy. When you come into the land that the Lord your God has given you for inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God has given you. And you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God, and you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great and mighty and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers. And the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders, and brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. The scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. At this time, we invite the children to come forward for the children's message. Come on up, everybody. Thank you. Good morning, boys and girls. Who can tell me what day it is? It's Sunday, right? That's the most important thing. It's Sunday. It's Valentine's Day. February 14th is Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day celebrates love. God is love, and Jesus tells us in 1 John, let us not just love with words, but with action. So, tell you what. Guess what I have in here? I have a Valentine's Day card. Yeah, I'm going to give this to my wife. And you know what I'm going to do? She wants me to take her out to eat tonight to a movie, but I want to see if she'll make me hamburgers and then I can stay home and watch the basketball game on TV. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give her this, and if I give her this big, beautiful card, she might just say, Paul, I'm going to make burgers for you tonight and let you stay home and watch the basketball game. What do you think of that? Is that loving on my part? Is that love? No, that's not loving. But what if I give her this gigantic card? Shouldn't she then have to make me burgers and let me watch the basketball game? No, so I shouldn't just give it to her, so I'll get some from her, right? If I love her, what will I do? Okay, if I love her, I'll give her the card and let her watch a basketball game with me? No, what will I do? I'll take her on the date. I'll take her out to eat, and I'll take her to a movie. That's what I'll do. Because we love not just with words, and we don't do something to get something. Is that love? Or you do something just to get something? No, that's not love. Love is giving. And Jesus tells us to love not just with words, but with action. Yes? Yes, thanksgiving is forgiving too. And how does God love us? Does he love us just so he can get something back? Or does he freely love us? How does he love us? Freely, right. Jesus freely loves us. God loves us not just with words. We hear that in the Bible, I love you. But with action. He gave his son and he gives us so much continually. And so we see God's love in action. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your love. It comes to us not just in words, but in action and in the person of Jesus who gave himself for us on the cross. Help us, Lord, to follow Jesus and love one another, not just with words, but with actions. Amen. God bless you all. And remember to love your parents. There you go. You're welcome. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 4th chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of the time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you will then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they'll bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Our text is our gospel, the temptation of Jesus. I read again the first two verses. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever heard of the woulda, coulda, shouldas? Shel Silverstein wrote a poem about them several years ago. It goes like this. All the woulda, coulda, shouldas laying in the sun, talking about all the things they woulda, coulda, shoulda done. But those woulda, coulda, shouldas all ran away and hid from one little did. So you ever hear those woulda, shoulda, couldas? Sort of what Lent's all about, isn't it? In our life, we have a lot of woulda, coulda, shouldas. We have those regrets. We look back and we wish we would have made that visit or sent that card or spoken that word of God to someone at just the right time. We should have done better with the opportunities that we've had in life. And we look back and we imagine the husband or the wife we should have been, the brother or sister we could have been, the friend or the worker we should have been. And we have some regret. And we know we can't make up for that. We could just think about those things, but in reality, they're not real. The woulda, coulda, shouldas, because that's past and that's something that didn't happen. But it's the did. That's real. You and I in our lives, we're the shoulda, woulda, couldas, but Jesus is the did. And that's good news for us. Instead of living a life of regret, you and I, we can rejoice and be glad because Jesus did. There are no woulda, coulda, shouldas in his life. Everything the Father placed before him, he fulfilled, and he did it for us. So in him, we have that life with God. The news of his success, that good news, it trumps all of our failures. And it's a new reality, a new life for us in Jesus. And we see that here at the temptation. Right after his baptism, Jesus fasted. Now the tempter saw this as a weak moment, thinking that weak from lack of food, he'd be so hungry that he would want to turn that rock into bread. And so when the tempter comes with that temptation, Jesus, though, even though he's not been eaten, he's been being fed, been fed spiritually with the Word of God, time with his Father. And so he responds, man does not live by bread alone. He finds his satisfaction in life, not in bread, but in that which comes forth from the mouth of the Father. That first satisfaction is one of physical pleasure and satisfaction in life. Bread's like that. Bread's one of those things that, especially if you've not had it for a long time, it really satisfies. In fact, we use bread and butter metaphorically for the essentials of life, what's central and most important. But what happens when our desire for satisfaction gets disordered? What if we find the pleasure or the filling in sin? We might seem satisfying to speak some critical word about someone we don't like or someone that's hurt our feelings. Or we might see that there's some real satisfaction in satisfying our lust. Maybe flirting with someone who's the spouse of another, or even having some physical contact. Or you may seek your real pleasure in a life spent watching TV or in drinking more than you should, or of wanting to win it so big and gambling that instead of it just being a diversion on occasion, a bit of escape, it becomes something you think about during the week as the greed takes over and you think about getting more or spending your life gambling. And the satisfaction comes in such a different way. And at the end of it, when we've picked at the tree, when we've tried to find real satisfaction, centering our lives in these other ways, we find there's no true satisfaction there. And we say to ourselves, well, I should have done something different. If I'd have known better, I would have done better. And we live with regret because God is no longer the center of our satisfaction. Or we fail to love our neighbor, family member, but we've taken and brought hurt in many ways. You say, I could have used my time much better. And we have regrets in our life. But Jesus didn't. And that's the good news. That's the one thing I really want to convey in this message. You and I, every single one of us, we have regrets. We could spend hours wasting our time with the woulda, coulda, shouldas. Or we could rejoice because Jesus came through. That makes all the difference for us. Even if we failed, He succeeded. And we are found in Him. We are baptized into Jesus Christ, part of Him, and receive the rewards of His faithfulness. He has no regrets. The tempter then shows Jesus a way to avoid the difficult road to glory by taking a shortcut. Shows him all the kingdoms of the world. Just bow down and worship me, says the tempter. This would be a shortcut. For Jesus, it all belongs to Him, but for Jesus, there was a long road filled with rejection, filled with difficult teaching, long days, the garden, the beatings, Calvary, the cross and death. To shortcut all that, that was a temptation. Jesus chose the long and difficult way. Sometimes you and I are tempted to take the shortcut, maybe not speak honestly, or trying to do it the easy way. Sometimes this can even be done with our faith. I was watching on TV the other day, a couple Christians, and they're talking about the best way that they learned in their home. The way to sell your house is to bury a statue of Joseph upside down. And that's more of a superstition. Really, the best way to sell your house is do everything your realtor tells you to do. Do all the hard work. But you and I are like that too. Instead of doing all, and we're seeking God's will, instead of doing all the hard work of learning His will, studying day after day, or when we have a difficult decision, to talk to those trusted people and getting the opinions of others, sometimes we might want to just say, okay, Lord, show me which way to go, and I'm going to open my Bible, take a random page and put my finger down. That's what I'll do. That's superstition too, isn't it? We sometimes look for shortcuts. Or we say, Lord, now just give me a sign. I had a relative recently, or a few years back, and she wanted to sell her house and move to Arizona. And one day in winter, a car came careening down the road, lost traction in the snow, and ran over their for sale sign in their yard. And she said, Paul, I think that's a sign of God that the house is going to sell pretty soon. And I said, Elaine, that's a sign from God that you should stay there and teach your neighbors how to drive on snow. She didn't hang up on me, but she has. We often like taking those shortcuts. But Jesus here shows us it's the difficult way, the way of discipline, the way of study, you know, whether it's in our home or our workplace or in school. You know, there are no shortcuts to maturity. There are no shortcuts to seeking the will of the Lord as we try to follow him. It's good news for us that Jesus took no shortcut. He went to the cross and suffered and died for us. And that's where the glory was, not in doing something simple like falling down and worshiping the devil. We read in John 12, Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." His glory came not in the time of popularity, but in the time of his suffering, the time in giving himself for us. And that's where we find our glory too, our glory in Lord Jesus, in his success. It makes up for all of our woulda, shoulda, couldas. And we agree with St. Paul as he writes in Romans 8, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." And so, as we look at the temptation of Jesus, we reflect on our own, and as we examine ourselves, we don't want to spend too much time with all the regrets. Because once you repent, Jesus forgives you. And he says, "The slate is clean, go on." Think of his success and what he has for you and the strength he provides today and the peace and the joy and the new blessings that flow to us, not because we've been so good, but because he has. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. Trust in him. Amen. And the peace which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you've blessed us so richly. You've given us your Son, who for us, in obedience to you, overcame temptation and went the way of glory all the way to the cross and then into resurrection. Lord Jesus, be with us in our hour of trial. Help us to find our hope and confidence in what you have done and continue to do for us. We praise you, Lord. Increase our faith. Please bless our nation with good leaders, with good judges, all those who will seek what is right and good in life. And Lord, we ask that you'll bless our country. Help us, Lord, in our citizenship, citizens, to be good citizens. And bless your church, Lord, throughout the world. Help us to take to heart your word. And may the gospel of Jesus Christ go out and have free course throughout the world, that more may believe and find real hope. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask that you'll bestow your grace upon all those who are ill and suffering at this time. We thank you, Lord, for bringing Jeannie safely through surgery yesterday. We ask you now, Lord, to please mend her hip and restore her to health and strength according to your will. Bless also Agnes in these days that she will recover. And we thank you for all the health you've already returned to her after surgery. Bless both of these and all who are ill. Please be with Bud. Lord Jesus, as you restored sight to so many as you walked the earth, now you work in so many wonderful ways through modern technologies and medicine and doctors, and we pray that all that will work together so you might restore the sight of Bud and all who are having problems with eyes and sight at this time. We ask you, Lord, to bless Gloria. Please renew her strength. Be with Rita in these days of illness as she draws ever closer to you. In your time, O Lord, receive her into your kingdom and deliver her from pain and suffering. Lord, please hear our prayer for Carolyn, Haley, Jarrett, Glenn, Sean, Julie, Douglas, the mother and father of Deanna Vargas, Jewel, Vanessa, Bristol, Barbara, Terry, Caleb, Diane, Cannon, Betty, Sandy, Mary, John, Georgia, Ida, Clara, Mary, Clifford, Clarence, and those we now name silently. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we rejoice in all the good news and the new blessings. We praise you for Charlie Jeanette, the daughter of Rodney and Emily, and also the daughter that you have given to Cody and Megan. We pray that these girls will have good health. As today also, we place Lily in your hands, praising you for her baptism, for her family, praying that she'll continue to grow in you and receive and share your love all the days of her life. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, all these petitions we bring you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.